Welcome to Sci-Fi on Screen, the podcast that goes where no podcast has gone before. We here at Sci-Fi on Screen take a deep, close look at your favorite genre movies of science fiction, horror, fantasy, and comic book land. We go deep, scene by scene. We do comparisons of originals and remakes, and special shows. Just ahead, a new episode. And thanks for listening. Welcome back to another episode. This week will be a short episode about some stuff that has been happening since Comic-Con. A lot of new trailers dropped. And at the same time, maybe some quick reviews of some films that I've seen that I don't think I'll podcast. So I thought I would throw up something just to kind of give a sense of what's going on in the genre film world. Obviously, first up, a ton of trailers came out of Comic-Con. Dropped all over the place. So I'll start with the couple that are going to come out on Netflix that I saw. The first one I saw was Luke Cage. It's a pretty straightforward trailer. Luke Cage just kind of emerges and grabs a door from a waiting car and walks into this housing project, basically, you know, taking the fire from all these gangsters who are after him. And it's pretty amazing. I mean, and I think so. The thing about Luke Cage, from what I've read, I know very little about the character, but supposedly his skin is completely invulnerable. So, you know, nothing can hurt him. He can be shot or stabbed, whatever. You can't break his skin. It's completely invulnerable. So it's just a kick-ass trailer. I just like how straightforward it is and how he's just purely badass and unstoppable. So, and I really like the actor. I watched a couple episodes of Jessica Jones. I like the actor playing Luke Cage. So I'm really psyched. I think it looked great. And I'm totally on board for when it comes to Netflix. Then next up was the Iron Fist trailer, and I don't know much about the Iron Fist character, but I am a sucker for spiritual journey, you know, Tibet mountains, monastery, martial arts type things. I love that kind of, you know, origin story or training sequence or a learning sequence or whatever they did in Batman Begins. So really like those types of stories, and this seems like one as well. And he ends up, obviously, you know, in New York with the rest of the defenders who will come together eventually on Netflix, which will be Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, Iron Fist, and Daredevil. Looks really cool. I'm curious to see a little bit less sense of what that might be like than with Luke Cage, but definitely interested in checking that out. The next, you know, of course, the big one was the Justice League one that dropped. I have mixed feelings about it. I did like, strangely enough, I really liked the Aquaman reveal. I like Jason Momoa as Aquaman. They're going to do him as this really intense character, which is really interesting. I like the scene where he breaks the bottle and he's engulfed by the waves standing on this rock. That looks really neat. And Momoa looks really awesome. So really impressed with what they did with Aquaman. The comic relief between Batman and Wonder Woman is pretty good, so I get a sense that now the DC universe is kind of opening itself up a little bit. It's not going to be so overheated, which I think it has been so far. And so there's some decent comic relief between Bruce Wayne and Wonder Woman, and of course Bruce Wayne and Barry Allen. So I feel like, you know, with the lightening up of the lineup, we may get a little more of a balanced film if the story is good. So we see a bit of the Speed Force and how they're going to depict it visually on screen when Flash steps out of the way of a Batarang, which is, you know, it was okay. We've seen bullet time stuff like this before. So the trailer drags it out and wants us to think that it's the most amazing thing we've ever seen. But it's like, you know, we've all seen The Matrix. So I guess the revelatory moment is that he's revealing that he's Batman when he throws the Batarang, you know, because Barry Allen can see it in Speed Force time. So anyway, that was kind of cool. Cyborg kind of looked lame. I didn't like Cyborg's look or his costume or anything. He just looked kind of clunky and weird. So that was a weird kind of come down. I don't know what they're going to do with him. You know, and overall, I think they're trying to get away from the overheatedness of things. I get a sense with the Suicide Squad movie that's coming out too, that'll be kind of like a prototype of where DC is going, where they won't be as lighthearted as Marvel. I think they're going to still try to keep their, you know, their dark stuff going, but they are going to try to, you know, put more comedy in their movies. So it'll be interesting to see how that flies. And, you know, Affleck's very good with comedy. Like, you know, he's been in some really funny movies. So, you know, they definitely have someone who can deliver the lines and do it. Whether that's going to mix with, you know, Zack Snyder's ridiculously overheated style is anyone's guess. To me, the high point, the Wonder Woman trailer looked amazing. I mean, I feel like seeing this trailer, this might be DC's first bona fide, really good movie, you know, since The Dark Knight Rises. I mean, they haven't really had one since. So this just looks amazing. But I think it's going to be a smash. It looks really great. And we get a little bit of sense of the plot, you know, of Steve Trevor on the island, and then she leaves the island. But the whole World War I stuff is really great. I think it's so smart to set it in that time period because you have Wonder Woman, who is, by all accounts, a feminist woman, right? Interacting with people in pre-feminist times. And it's just what a smart move by the writers. So she can deliver these lines about, there's a couple of lines in it that just, they just work so well where, you know, Steve Trevor at one point says, I'm not going to let you do that. And she's like, what I do what I do, you know, because it has nothing to do with you. Or I forget what the line was, but it was, you know, and it's just like, it's so ridiculously resonant, but not on the nose in some, you know. And later on, there's like a tag where Diana Prince is asking this woman, what is a secretary? And she says, you know, I just do what he tells me. And she says, where I come from, that sounds like slavery. So I feel like the juxtaposition of her world when she comes into, you know, the 20s era or teens era, you know, U.S., where, you know, there was definitely flappers and there was a suffragette movement in England. But, you know, I think it's going to be great. It's just going to be a wonderful metaphor, and it's going to be easy to do a real feminist film without it being so on the nose, because it's set in a place where just her very existence kind of proves the point, you know. So anyway, I really have high hopes for Wonder Woman. It looks really, really good. Then there was Kong Skull Island, which I also was very excited to see, being a, you know, a Kong fan of sorts. And it looks beautifully photographed. I don't love Sam Jackson, I got to tell you. I'm not a Samuel L. Jackson fan. So when he starts in with the, you know, the big movie lines, I'm out of it already. But they look like they're taking it really seriously. And, you know, visually and tonally, I think it's kind of a match with Edwards' Godzilla film. And I think it's the same producers, so... And I also read somewhere that they're trying to, what they're going to do is, again, everyone's doing shared worlds, right? So there'll be a King Kong versus Godzilla movie in the near future in this kind of world. So the big monster Godzilla we saw a few years ago, and this Kong will face off eventually in an eventual sequel. So very interesting. I liked what I saw so far. It'd be interesting to see Tom Hiddleston as a, I would imagine he's going to be American, have an American accent in kind of a big-ass monster movie, but he's a pretty charismatic dude, so I didn't know who the woman was, but looked pretty good overall, so I was pretty psyched for Kong Skull Island. There was also more footage for Rogue One, A Star Wars Story, and it also looks amazing. I really, really am excited, and I'm, you know, tonally, it's a little darker and a little more intense, a lot more intense than Abrams' film, so I have a sense that Rogue One is going to be the Star Wars that I've been wanting to see for a long time. That's a little darker, that's a little more intense, that's not so jokey and hammy. Who knows, right? I mean, it's the same guy who made Godzilla, who I really like, Gareth Edwards. He's kind of a favorite of mine now. And it just looks really good. I mean, everything that's been shot looks very good. It looks very tough. However, it is now in reshoots. Now, you know, a lot of these films usually, you know, they test and they go back and they reshoot certain things. That's not so different, but they have Tony Gilroy, who's a screenwriter, rewriting a chunk of it as well. So they got like a new guy in writing parts of it, and they're doing a lot of reshoots. So again, I don't know if the cynical part of me thinks that it was too serious, it was too like a war film, which is what Gareth Edwards was going for, you know, kind of like a Where Eagles Dare or Guns of Navarone type of thing, which I had read a little bit about, which is very serious, you know. And I wonder if they saw it and just thought, you know, this is too serious, it's a Star Wars movie, we need more humor, so we have to write some kind of humor subplots and a little more humor in the relationships. I have no idea, I'm talking out my butt, but it will be interesting if it comes out and we see a wonderfully intense war movie kind of adulterated by this weird comedy through line that goes through it. So who knows, you know, what it'll be like. But again, I think Rogue One's going to be the best Star Wars movie since Empire. That's kind of my prediction. It just looks so good and so intense. And it's not going to be saddled by the continuity, you know. It has a place to play with most characters who you could probably kill off at the end of it and nobody would care. So really looking forward to Rogue One. Then we had a couple of, in my mind, clunkers. The Blair Witch trailer dropped. And, you know, the first Blair Witch film was really novel and brilliant. No one had done found footage like that before, and it was amazing. And now, this isn't even a found footage. I think it's regularly shot. It just looks like every other horror movie that's out there with Blair Witch, you know, slapped on it. And I'm sure that that's what the producers thought. Like, hey, can we milk this Blair Witch name for any money? Yeah, let's just make a horror movie out in the woods and we'll call it Blair Witch. And, you know, we'll use some, you know, we'll use the original film as, you know, as part of the continuity of the world. But it just looked pretty samey to a lot of other films that I've seen trailers for or that I've even seen. Nothing special. So, I don't know, it was kind of like whatevs on Blair Witch. They also dropped the King Arthur trailer. It's being directed by Mr. Snatch and Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels himself, Guy Ritchie. To my mind, it looked really bad. It looked like, you know, Lock, Stock, and One Shining Sword. It just looked so contemporary in its dialogue and the way the characters looked. It really is kind of a weird, contemporary, jokey action movie, and yet it's King Arthur. So when I heard that he was taking the reins of it, I blanched, and you know, I'm continuing to blanch because it just looks really, really bad.
Don't tell me they don't use money in the 23rd century.
Well, we don't.
Yes, my friends, but we do use money in the 21st century. Let's think about $1 for a minute. If you contribute $1 per episode via Patreon, $4 a month, $52 a year. If you like what I'm doing at Sci-Fi On Screen and you're really enjoying the show, I invite you to become a Patreon subscriber. My first goal I'm setting is $50 per show. I'm at about $26 and change right now. At $50 a show, I would really like to improve the quality of the sound for you guys, and I could buy a really good microphone and a booth so you guys can get the best sound I could possibly provide. So $1 a show a week. Sign up at patreon.com/sci-fi-on-screen. There's a button on my website, takes you right to the site. Signing up is a snap, and you're on your way. Until the 23rd century does arrive and we no longer need money, I would love your support via Patreon. Thanks for listening.
Blah, blah, blah,
blah, blah, blah, blah. No, blah, blah, blah.
So that's about it for the trailers. I saw a couple of movies in the past couple of weeks that I probably won't do on the podcast, so I wanted to just throw out some brief impressions of a couple of films. I recently watched this film called Hardcore Henry, which is a film that's filmed entirely in first person. Basically, you know, if you ever played video games, it's like a 2-hour cutscene, but you know, you are there. You feel like you're the character that's moving through this world. And I had such low expectations for it. I had no idea what to expect. And it turns out to be an amazing film. Now, I will caveat this by saying it's not really an amazing film. It's a one-trick pony. It does this one thing, but it does it so well. And I feel that they just took this one little convention of your first-person protagonist in the film, but it so many interesting twists and turns and tricks of the story, and using it to interesting, you know, effect, made it just a really interesting and fun ride. So I watched it and, you know, forget about character. Boy, was it inventive and had so much energy. And it's more of a sci-fi concept than I thought. Actually reminded me a little bit of Chronicle, the sort of found footage superhero movie, which I reviewed some months back. It had a wonderful feel, wonderful energy. You felt that a director behind it was just, boy, was he having a blast with this idea. And they were really into it and really thought through the entire film, scene for scene. Just they thought through everything. So, you know, if you're an action movie aficionado, I'd say go see it. You know, it's not any kind of a movie that you're going to, you know, sit back and say, wow, that was some movie. But boy, for an hour and a half action movie that has a really, really high concept, it was a hell of a lot of fun. So I really liked it. I did go out and see Independence Day Resurgence a couple of weeks back, and I did not like it at all. I was really bored by a lot of it. I felt that even though the scale of it was like, you know, humongously huge, where this thing lands in the Atlantic Ocean, that so much of it just felt like a retread. None of the characters were really funny or interesting at all, except for Jeff Goldblum. And it was just really boring. I found, you know, I'm a fan of the first Independence Day. I really like it. And this film was just so dull and boring. And, you know, by the end of it, they're setting you up for like a whole other sequence of movies, because that's what corporations are doing now. They're setting up these massive worlds that are 4 or 5 movies deep at the least. But I was really bored by it. I did not like it. I probably won't podcast it because there's not enough in it. There's no meat in there, really. It's just such a who cares movie, you know. And there was any of the characters that you remember from the first movie were just kind of non-events in this one. So did not like Independence Day. And finally, I recently watched the animated Killing Joke, which is based off of the single issue Batman, The Killing Joke. And, you know, I'm not one to really want to hammer things and be negative, but I thought it was really, really abysmal. And I really appreciate the other animated films that DC is doing. I think, I don't love them, but, you know, they did very respectful versions of Red Hood, Under the Red Hood. They did respectful versions of Year One and Dark Knight Returns. And the Batman and Son and Bad Blood movies they just recently did were fun, full of life. You know, they're really good at that kind of thing. But this was really bad. First of all, there's not enough story to do a feature from Killing Joke. It's kind of a one-note issue, and that's it. So they added this whole first, like, 30, 40 minutes of this Batgirl story, like, set her up as, like, her brief run as Batgirl before they actually got into the Killing Joke. And it was so unnecessary, and the dialogue was really bad in it. And there's this brief moment where her and Batman make, you know, have sex. And it was really bad. It was really bad. And then the Killing Joke was kind of scene for scene like the comic, but they embellished and added stuff that wasn't good. And the last joke was ruined. You know, there's this last joke in the Killing Joke where if you've read it, you know about the beam of light being turned off. And the genius of the comic is when they're laughing, you know, there's the second to last panel has a beam of light and the last panel doesn't have a beam of light. And it's like, you know, sinks in the whole notion of this joke. And in the, you know, like the last couple of seconds of the Killing Joke, like they tell that joke, and then, you know, the camera pans down to a black puddle, and it's like, where's the beam of light, man? That's supposed to, you know, that was going to shut off, that came from the headlight. Just even that, to me, is just completely indicative of the lack of care and the lack of understanding, even. Brian Azzarello wrote this. To my mind, he's a very overrated comic book writer. I don't think he's very good. I've read all the, you know, standalone books that he's written with Jim Lee, and I don't think he's interesting at all. You know, and to me, he has no idea what Alan Moore was doing. So his embellishments were not very good, and to my mind, at all. A huge thumbs down. Unless you're like a completist or a huge Batman fan, where you need to see this, do not, by any circumstances, purchase this in any way or even watch it. It's such a cash grab. I was really disappointed from a company, Warner's in DC, that are doing great work in this realm and being very respectful towards these characters. So at best, maybe it was really a misfire, and that they need to stay away from, you know, material that's actually shorter than a motion picture and not get anywhere near it, and, you know, stick with what they've been doing with the longer stuff, which has been, you know, pretty decent. So anyway, that's kind of basically a little wrap-up of some trailers and some films that I saw. I thought I'd just do a quick episode, as I'm not up to back to one a week, so I thought I would throw this on an off week. And I will be posting next Friday for sure, and I'm going to try to keep it up once every 2 weeks at this point to keep the episodes coming on a steady basis. So anyway, thanks for listening. Hope you enjoyed it. See you next time.